Matthew chapter number 6, I want to just talk to you a little bit from about the Lord's Prayer today. I like what Paul Miller said about prayer. He said that prayer doesn't offer you a less busy life, but prayer does offer you a less busy heart. And all of us have busy lives. We have children and we have work and we have all families and all the kinds of things that are going on in our life, and we're busy all the time. But when we come to the point in our life where we're praying and we're talking to the Lord and involving Him of everything that's going on in our life, we find that the life doesn't get less busy, but God does calm our hearts and reassures us that He is in control, and He creates an atmosphere in which we can trust Him not only for our salvation, but for, a big word, our sanctification, simply our daily growth in Christ Jesus. And so I want to say to you that one of the most important disciplines that you can find in your life is to have a praying life where you're constantly going to the Lord in prayer. So here's what I want to do. I'm just going to talk you through the prayer just a little bit and then give you a few thoughts to take with you today. Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus said now to the disciples, "So when you get ready to pray, I want you to pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, why don't you just pause there for a minute and think about what Jesus said. When you begin to pray, now you don't have to, it's not legalism. You don't have to pray that way every single time you pray, but He gives a model prayer for us, and He says, "Listen, I want you to begin with adoration and praise and glory to God. Don't begin necessarily right where your needs are. Don't even begin where your confession is. Begin with the glory of God. Begin with adoration and praise." And if you're anything like me, sometimes in my life when I've sinned and fallen short and I've messed up, I know that I need to go to God in prayer, but I'm to begin with praise. And I'll start praising the Lord and glorifying the Lord, but I have this angst in my soul because I realize that I've fallen short, I've sinned. And I think God wants us to have that in our heart. That's not a bad place to be, because you begin to adore Him and praise Him and glorify Him. And all the while you're doing that, it brings deep conviction on your life that you have come short of the glory of God. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now just think about that for a moment. He says, "Our Father." Certainly each of us in this room, we could say, "My Father who is in heaven." Right? And that's a legitimate way to do it. That "My Father who is in heaven," it is a personal prayer. It's an individualistic prayer. But don't ever forget that it's done in the community as well. Jesus said when you pray, this is a church prayer. "Our Father," this community, Restoration Road, it's your prayer together. "Our Father who is in heaven." Every believer around the world, we're a part of the universal body of Christ. And so all of God's people all around the world, from every denomination that truly believes in Jesus Christ, we cry out together, "Our Father who is in heaven." And then He says, "Our Father." That's the word there is Abba, our daddy, our father, the lover of our soul. It's not that it says, stop for a minute, it doesn't say our boss who is in heaven critically looking down upon us. And so if you're here today, I want you to understand that when you pray, you begin to acknowledge the God of heaven, but you acknowledge Him as our Father, our Daddy. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who takes care of us. He's the one who wraps His arms around us. I was talking back here, we have these two little girls, these twins, and I was telling them I have two little boys back home at my house, and there's only 15 months between them, and I love to hold them in my arms. Don't you just love holding a baby in your arms? If you don't, something's wrong with you. Our Father who is in heaven. Why don't you just think about it like this? Our Father who holds us in His arms. Our Father who intimately cares about every detail of your life. Well, of course He flung all the stars into space. Of course He takes care of all of the nations. Of course He's worried about or taking care of everything that happens in our nation and right even here in your community. But God is deeply concerned with every detail of your life, and He loves you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. I love that old English kind of word. It just simply means, maybe you would say something like this, "Our Father who art in heaven, treasured be Your name." And not just the name of God, but in the Bible, whenever it talks about the name, it says all of the resources and all the power and all of the quality that goes into that person is represented in His name. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved than this, Jesus Christ. It's not merely saying or ending your prayers in the name of Jesus. It is all that is represented in Christ. That's where our salvation comes from. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy wonderful and glorious and marvelous name. Do you pray like that? Do you begin your prayers by giving adoration and glory and praise to God? Now just think about that phrase one more minute. And our Father who art in heaven. Isn't that interesting? It goes from intimacy of our Father who loves us and wraps His arms around us to making sure that you don't forget that He's not just your best buddy. He's the God of heaven and the God of eternity. He is the God that holds the world in His hand, and He's the God that cares about the world in your heart. And so when you pray, why don't you pray that way? Our Father who is in heaven. When you think about heaven there, I want you to understand that the author there, Jesus, He's not talking about somewhere beyond the third sky. He's not. And part of the problem that people have with prayer is that, have you ever heard anybody say, I prayed, but you know my prayers didn't make it past the ceiling? You ever heard anybody say that? The problem with that is that God is below the ceiling. God is not somewhere out there. God is in this room right now. The Jewish understanding of heaven is the air that is right around us. Heaven is right here. It is the real manifested presence of God with His people. And so when you pray, you might say, Our Father who is closer than the air that is in my lungs. And if you want your prayer life to change, what you ought to do is hold God before your very mind often. I told Joey the other night, oftentimes when I talk with children, I'll tell them, now listen, when you close your eyes, God will run right up to you. Don't open your eyes because it's better to believe and not see than see and not believe. But if you want to know where God is, He's right in front of you. You can smell Him. He's right here. Now, if you begin to think in your life that God, very God, was in this room with you right now, your prayer life would change. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, treasured be Thy name. We move from adoration maybe to surrender. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what I want to say? My kingdom come. You know what we want to say? Our kingdom come. Our will be done. My kingdom or my queendom, right? You put two kids in a sandbox and what happens inevitably, somebody steals somebody's Tonka truck and they get mad and start fighting. You know why? Because you've invaded somebody's kingdom. Everybody in this room wants to be the ruler of their own kingdom. And that happens on a personal level, that happens on a familial level, that happens on a national level, that happens on an international level. And that's the reason why the world is in such shambles that it is because all of us are invading other people's kingdoms. And Jesus comes onto the scene and He says, hey, when you pray, you say, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why does He say on earth as it is in heaven? Because in heaven, everything is done exactly the way that God wants it. What is God's kingdom? It is the range of His effective will. Where what God wants done is done. Everything in heaven is done the way that God wants it to be done. And so what is He saying? Is that Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Can I just say this? What God wants you to pray in your life is, Lord, help me to surrender the keys to my kingdom to You. Please come into my life and bring Your kingdom, Your rule, Your will, Your life into mine and help me to surrender so that instead of living to be the king of my own life or the queen of my own life, I am living to surrender to what You want done so that just as it is done in heaven the way that You want, so I'll do what You want in my life. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where's the prayer go from there? Give us this day our daily bread. What a contrast. You see that? In one moment, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. It's talking on this supernatural level, this grand level of God's glory and His coming kingdom. And we are to surrender to the very will of God. And then Jesus says, you know what? But you got to go to work tomorrow morning. You got to go home this afternoon and change some dirty diapers. You got to still live with the spouse. You got to drive 13 hours in the car with somebody, all right? Sister, there's a special reward for you for doing that. And so what does Jesus do? He goes from the sweet by and by to the nasty now and now. And He says, listen, it's not just praying that I'd surrender to Him, but He's saying, I need my daily needs. And you can spiritualize that as all you want. You can say that's talking about the spiritual bread of heaven. And Jesus did say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. But really what that's talking about is saying to God, tomorrow I need bread. And you know what? There might even be some folks in this room that say, God, tomorrow, I don't even know about your grand kingdom. I want to follow the leadership of this church and carry out the mission, and I want people to be saved, but I'm not even sure I can provide for my meal tomorrow. Oh God, won't you help me? There might be somebody in this room today, and you might be saying, you know what, God has delivered me from an addiction in my life, or God has delivered me from some sort of condition in my life, but I want you to know, if I could open the doors of my life, I'd tell you I'm really shaky, and some days I'm really close to going back and falling back, and all I really need tomorrow is for God to give me one day at a time of His grace and His mercy and His care and His compassion. Oh God, won't you help me tomorrow? When you pray, pray that way. You don't have to pray flowery. And you don't have to pray for some sort of ethereal world. You pray and say, God, this is what I need tomorrow. God, I'm gonna see this person tomorrow at work and I hate them. And I'm sorry to tell you that, Lord, but I do. God, I'm at a dead-end job and I wish I wasn't. Lord, I'm 45 years old and life has not gone the way that I wanted it to go and I don't know what to do. I need help. We adore God in our prayer. We submit ourselves to Him. And then we begin to pray for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. What comes next? Confession. That's the one where everybody in the room says, now stop preaching. You stop preaching and start a meddle and don't dip into my life a little bit. Forgive us our, let me use this old English word here, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Or maybe your translation might say something like, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? I like the word trespass because, you know, when I was a kid, I'm sure some of y'all been like, y'all ever trespassed on somebody's property? I know you did. Don't lie to me. You trespassed somewhere. If this thing weren't recorded, I'd tell you a story about my brother, but he might listen in the future. So, of course, I'm not going to tell about me. I'll tell about somebody else. But listen, yeah, I like the word trespass, but here's the way. Forgive us our trespasses. You know what happens to us? We invade other people's territory all the time, don't you? You do it with your words. You do it with your vision. You do it with your body. You do it with where you go. You say things and do things to people, and you infringe upon them. You trespass on their territory. And most of all, you trespass on the territory of God because God wants to rule your life and love you, take care of you, and He tells you how to live your life. And every time you sin and go your own way, you trespass into the kingdom of God. And what you're saying is, God, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us where we've infringed on your territory. Forgive us where we have taken control of our own life. Forgive us of our sins. And Jesus turns around and says, hey, listen. God wants to do that and God will do that, but the aspiration of your own life ought to be that you forgive other people. And so you can't be the kind of person that holds resentment and anger and frustration towards somebody else and then expect that God would forgive you. The very grease that controls the wheels of the kingdom of God is forgiveness. The air of the kingdom of God is forgiveness. You can't be a believer in Jesus without giving forgiveness. Why? Because it is the very mercy of the cross when Jesus dies and takes into His life every sin that you've ever committed. And He there dies on the cross. He that knew no sin becomes sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When Jesus dies, He forgives everyone in this room of your sin, and He wants to reconcile you to God. And when He raises from the dead, it is the stamp of approval that says, this one paid for your sins, and therefore you can be free. Therefore, all of the skeletons in your closet are done away with. You can bring 1,000 people in this room that may be able to tell you why I'm not good enough, but in the eyes of the living God, when He sees me, He sees the blood of His Son who died for my sins, and you as well, my friend. And if that reality is true in your own heart, then you must pursue forgiveness of other people. Now that doesn't mean, let me give a quick caveat, that doesn't mean that you're not careful and you don't use wisdom. It doesn't mean that you just walk wholeheartedly into being abused again. I'm not saying that. Of course there's wisdom and thought and you have to enter into relationships again in a careful way. But even if you can never enter into that relationship again, you can still forgive. Even if that person that did you wrong has passed on into the next life, you can still, before the God of heaven, give forgiveness. Not out of your own power, but out of the grace and mercy that comes from Jesus Christ. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then look what he says. He says, "And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from all evil." Now, you know what? Scholars have been baffled by the phrases of Jesus for as long as they've been writing. And there's a whole bunch of ways you can interpret that. But can I just tell you, don't try and read something that's not there. It's a child's prayer. Well, what Jesus means is this, and what Jesus meant, Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Don't lead us into temptation." Why? Because I'm not strong enough to defeat it. Why don't you just pray every day, "Lord, please, would you please today keep me from any temptation? Because if it comes my way, if anybody's going to fail, it's going to be me." Why don't you just admit that? If you ever want to get into the kingdom of God, if you ever want to live the life that Christ wants you to live, you got to be honest with your own soul and with Him. You're not strong enough to defeat any temptation. Hey, but deliver us from evil. And then Jesus ends the prayer by saying this, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, Jesus is not just some sort of guru or wise man or philosopher that stands before you and gives you a beautiful prayer. Jesus says you can pray these things: adoration, submission, petition, confession, mercy. You can pray all these things. Why? Because God's is the kingdom and the power and the glory. If anybody in the world can help you, it's Him. Now let me just give you two or three little practical things and I'll be finished. Maybe if you're keeping notes, this is what I would say. Number one, if you want to start having a prayer life, why don't you begin with where Jesus said to start? Why don't you just memorize the Lord's Prayer? It's pretty easy. Some of you grew up and memorized it, but don't just do it out of rote memorization and duty and as a part of my church. Why don't you work through it every day or once a week and just pause on some of those phrases? Why don't you just get up tomorrow morning and say, "My Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name." And then just say, "Lord, what does it look like for me today to hallow Your name? What does it look like for me to treasure You today?" Maybe you could get up on Tuesday morning and say, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Lord, how today can I surrender the keys of my kingdom to You?" Right? Why don't you work through that prayer a little bit? Number two, here's what you need to remember. Try and practice the very presence of God. Remind yourself two or three times a day that God is here and not there. He's everywhere. Why? What I mean is, if you go to work, just use the natural breaks in your day. Maybe you get a break about 10:15. As you pull out your snacks, right? You pull out a piece of beef jerky. I don't know what you eat for snack. Maybe it's a Twinkie. I don't know what it is, all right? But as you pull out your snack, why don't you just say, "Now, Lord, You're here." Why don't you wake up in the morning when you get out of bed, just announce that God is present? Now, your spouse might think you're nuts when you do that, but just say, "Well, Lord, You're here." You see, with most of us, the problem is that we do some devotion somewhere, and then the rest of the day we live on automatic pilot. And we forget that God's with us. You get ready to go into a meeting, you get ready to talk to somebody, you get ready to do whatever it is that you're going to do. Maybe when you're driving, if you're driving by yourself, don't put anything on the passenger seat and invite Jesus to drive with you. I promise you, it will change your life if you'll begin to practice the presence of God. Here's the third thing. Don't have a prayer life. Have a praying life. You see the difference between that? if all you can do is have a prayer life, then by certainty, go for that. But it's not a matter of just praying once and then carrying on with your life. Prayer is an ongoing, interactive relationship with God about what you're doing together. Do you know why most people don't pray? Because they're not really doing anything with God. And so they don't have anything to talk about. But if you're actually doing something with God, you'll want to talk to Him about it. I shared somewhere in the middle, but I just want to end by telling you this. The greatest prayer you can ever pray is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and realize that He died on the cross and that He rose again. And that if you put your confidence in Him, He'll take out your old heart and He'll give you a new heart. And He'll change you from the inside out. And you can spend the rest of your life walking with Him and loving Him. You want to know what I want most? One day when it's time for me to die, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, I want to close my eyes in death, and I want to wake up in the next life seeing Jesus, the one who I've loved so much all these years. I don't want to have to ask somebody what Jesus looks like when I get there. I want to have walked with Him, and talked with Him, and loved Him so much that He'll be the first one that I see when I get there. Would you let me pray for you? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. I feel so very privileged to be with them. I pray for all of us that You would give us strength. I pray that if there's somebody here today, that they would put their faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. And I pray for the majority of us in this room that have put their faith in Christ, Lord, that we would learn to pray. It's a simple sermon. And Your prayer, Your model prayer for us was simple, but it's the one You told the disciples to start with. And I think a lot of my brothers and sisters in here would say, I want to be a disciple. So would You teach us that prayer? And we'll love You and thank You for all that You do. In Christ's name, amen.